I'm sure that you have been to Carowinds or to some amusement park or maybe the local gas station where they have these super mugs and might cost $40 or $50. I don't know what it costs now, but if you'll buy this super mug, you can go back and you can fill it up, especially if you're at Carowinds, as much as you can, as much as you want to. And just you had to mortgage your house to get this super mug, but you can just, as much as you want, you just fill it up. When we come to Matthew chapter 9, Jesus teaches us a principle that there are certain barriers and there are certain difficulties and there are certain obstacles that we will live with the rest of our lives. Or we can get rid of those obstacles and those barriers if we have faith. And it's almost like Jesus says, hey, you can have faith as much as you want. John Wesley's made this statement. God has made the world to exist on the principle of faith, so that he who has faith will have access to everything. And he who that is lacking in faith will live without. So my question this morning for you, would you be characterized as a person that is great in faith? Or that is weak in your faith? And how you answer that question, I can see how you handle the obstacles in your life. So when we come to Matthew chapter 9, blindness in ancient times was commonplace, as it is in many underdeveloped countries, even in our day. Jesus healed more cases of blindness than he did any other disease, which just goes to show how common blindness was in his time period. It was not uncommon for blind people to hang out together. So it's two blind men. I don't know if they had been buddies for 4 years or for 14 or 40 years, but it was the common occurrence that blind people, they hung together. They stuck together. But I don't want you to miss what this story is all about. It's not necessarily so much about blindness. It's about faith. And he who has faith will have access to everything. And he that is lacking in this faith or her faith will live without. So my question for you this morning, how is your faith? Or how strong is your faith? Three keys for overcoming the impossible in your life. Sermon I've entitled, According to Your Faith. First truth, notice, the person of faith. Matthew 9, look at verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, just healed Jairus' daughter, a girl who was dead, and Jesus brought her back to life. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Faith is the center of this conversation. What causes two blind men to call out to Jesus? Faith. If you look in the verses following, Jesus asks him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? The story is not so much about sight as it is about faith. In whom are you and I to have faith in? It's not some nebulous thing that we have faith in faith. Faith in faith is bogus. We have faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have faith in his word that he gave us. So our faith is in Jesus. Now look at this. These two blind men had nowhere else to turn. I'm sure they had been to all of the doctors. I'm sure they had tried all of the treatments. And they're blind. Notice what the verse is. And the two blind men followed him. Heaven's blessings come to those who follow Jesus. So you say, I have this great obstacle in my life. What do? Make a beeline to Jesus. You just follow him. Can you see the two blind guys stumbling through these dusty streets? I don't know if they had a cane. I don't know if they had a stick. And I don't see anything around here. I don't think that Britain would want me to be using this. But I can see them. I don't know if they were pounding the pavement or pounding the ground, pounding the road, but they're following Jesus, fighting the crowds. They're following Jesus. Notice on in the verse, two blind men followed him, crying. Same word was used to describe the demoniac of the Gadarenes. Same word was used of Jesus on the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So he wasn't like some of you. Amen. No. These two blind guys, they were crying out with all that they were worth. You say, what were they crying? Look what it says. Thou son of David. These blind guys are the first people in the gospel to use this messianic term for Christ. These men recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. These two blind guys had a whole lot of spiritual sight because they saw Jesus for who he was when no one else did. Remember the first words of Matthew's gospel? The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David? Oh, he was the Messiah. It had been prophesied and predicted for centuries and centuries and centuries. The first people who got it, two blind guys. Every Jewish person heard them because they weren't shy about it. They weren't ashamed about it. They were crying to the top of their lungs, "Thou son of David." Every Jewish person knew what they were saying. They were saying, this man is the Messiah. This man is the one sent from God. This man is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. They cried, Jesus let those that were physically blind teach those that were spiritually blind the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? That's what these two blind guys are doing. They're teaching the Pharisees. Jesus is the Messiah. The blindness of the multitude was greater than the blindness of the two men. And I can just see these guys following after Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David. The person of Christ. You say, I got an obstacle. I got a difficulty that's impossible. I cannot surmount it. We don't have faith in faith. Our faith is rooted in the Word of God. And our faith is rooted in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they were doing. They got it. They got who Jesus was. And it was not some casual address. They were bold. It was a declaration, Jesus, you are the Son of David. You are the Messiah. Number one, the person of faith. Secondly, notice the prayer of faith. What's this? Jesus departed thence. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David. See the next four words? Have mercy on us. So these two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us. They wanted Jesus to show them compassion on their condition. Blindness in this time period usually meant poverty. Most blind people were beggars. These two men came to Jesus understanding his worthiness. and also understanding their unworthiness. They come to Jesus. Do you get it? Where is my hanky? Hey, you are the Messiah, and we are blind beggars. That's the way anybody will ever come to know Christ as Savior. You have to realize the person of Christ, and you have to say, hey, have mercy on us. We do not deserve it. They were not crying out for justice. They did not want justice. They were crying out for mercy. Have mercy on us. That's the way anyone ever comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Realizes who Jesus is, and they plead for mercy. Faith distinguishes who can't see and who would not see. They weren't caught up in themselves. They come in humility, and these two blind guys ask for the impossible to the one who's able to do it. Hold on a second. They pray according to Scripture. You read Psalm 4, verse 1. You read Psalm 6, verse 1. You read Psalm 31, verse 9. They're going to put it on the screen. Psalm 6, verse 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm weak. Psalm 123, verse 3. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. So the prayer of faith was directly from Scripture. You want to get your prayers answered for your impossible situations. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What's according to His will? His Word. What were these two blind guys? They got who Jesus was. They got what the Word of God was. They're praying Scripture. Amen. That was awful. Amen. They were praying for their impossible situation to the Son of God from the Word of God. One other thought. Several times in Old Testament, blindness was a punishment because of some sin. I'm not saying every time, but sometimes in the Old Testament, it was. You say, where do you get off on saying that? Remember Genesis 19? Two angels go to visit Lot. They go into Lot's house. Lot closes the door. The perverts are beating on the door. And Lot says, no. I'll give you my daughters. Just leave these two angels alone. The angels step out, and what do? You remember it? They strike him with blindness. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 18, that when attacked by the Syrians, Elisha prayed to strike this people with blindness. Remember Samson? He sinned and did what God told him not to do. You remember what they did? They plucked out his eyes. Sometimes blindness in the Old Testament was associated with some sin. They say, why do you bring that up? Get what they're doing. They recognize the person of Jesus. They recognize their woeful inadequacy. And they come to Jesus. Jesus, you're the Messiah. Jesus, you're the one that we seek. Jesus, you're the one, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Have mercy upon us. I just kind of think they were praying more than for their sight. I think they were praying for their spiritual condition because they were lost in their sins. And that's the way any lost person has to come. Recognize, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul. That's what these two guys do. The person of faith. The prayer of faith. Let me just pull over this one and park a little bit. If you want to see the impossible become a reality in your life, you're going to have to do the third one. And I don't like the third one. Persistence of faith. Look at verse 28. Blind guys are following Jesus. Blind guys are recognizing Jesus. The blind guys are crying out, have mercy upon us. The response, that they get from Jesus. And when he was come into the house, in response to a request for mercy, Jesus just keeps on walking. Is he testing their faith? Is he ignoring them? Does he care about their requests? What do the blind guys do? Can you see them with their stick? I mean, you got the crowds there. They just keep following Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy, mercy upon us. If you want to see the impossible become a reality in your life, you're going to have to pray. And you're going to have to pray. And you're going to have to pray. And you're going to have to pray. This kind cometh forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Did they get discouraged? Did they say, fine, if he's not going to answer us, we're just going to go back to our begging? No. They keep following Jesus. Now, the crowd probably tried to silence them. The crowd probably told them, forgive me for saying this in church, why don't y'all just shut up? Obviously, you're making a distraction for the Savior. Just be quiet. So they had some obstacles. They're trying to scream out to get Jesus' attention. They're blind. So imagine if I gave all of you the project. Close your eyes. You can't open them one single time. You can't just squint at all. Get to your car and do it without falling down. I know some of you people, you can't get to your car with your eyes open. Y'all are going to be broken legs. We're going to be calling every EMT in town. It's going to be a mess. These two blind guys, they're crying out for Jesus for mercy, and they're trying to listen because they're trying to figure out which way to go. And there's people discouraging them. What do they do? Look, verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, hallelujah, the blind men came to him. We don't know how long it was, how far it was. Was it a half a mile, a quarter mile, a mile, a mile and a half? We don't know. We just know they kept coming. And they kept coming. They kept bouncing their stick and coming out. Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy. And then they come to that door. They come to that door. It's an obstacle. This was Peter's house. What are they going to do? Two blind men, they finally got a chance for Jesus. I'm sure they were polite, and I'm sure they knocked. And then they shoved themselves right in and said, we're looking for Jesus, the son of David. And they shoved themselves right in. Look at the verse. He was coming to the house. The blind men came to him. And Jesus says to them, believe ye that I'm able to do this. He looks at them. All right, you've been confessing me. You've been following me when obstacles are in your way. When the answer doesn't come the way you think it should come, you just follow Jesus. You make a beeline for Jesus. When doors are closed in your face, you just keep going hard after the Lord Jesus. And Jesus comes to these guys and says, do you believe I'm able to do this? Now, they could have said, well, Jesus, have you not heard us? For a mile and a half, we've been crying out, you are the Messiah. He looks at them and says, do you believe I'm able to do this? Was he drawing out a specific confession? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. the answer for your impossible situation. We just sang about it. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe He is able to work in your impossible situation? Or have you just decided, well, it's always going to be like this? It's been like this for several decades, and it's, oh, I'm just going to die like this in this situation. Jesus today looks at you through His Word. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Are you stammering? Are you stammering? Not these two blind guys. Look what they say. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto Him, yes, Lord. They said unto Him emphatically, if you can raise the dead, you can cure blindness. Jesus was the object of their faith. Often, blind folk have trust issues. They had endured discouragement. They had endured discrimination. They had endured difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. That road was not paved like we have paved roads. It was dusty. It had potholes. It had other things left on. They had to go through all of that, and they endured because they believed in Jesus. Look at verse 29. Then touched He their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Jesus allows us to choose how much we want Him in our lives. Do you get that? So if you want to live in misery, Jesus says, okay, you can. If you want to live in despair, Jesus says, you can. If you want to live in defeat, Jesus says, okay, you can. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? They say, absolutely. You look up in the original language, it was an emphatic, most definitely, you are the Son of David. Jesus, we believe in you. And He responded, touches their eyes and says, be it unto you according to your faith. And I would look at some of you, and I love you. I look at Neil Jackson. Much of the despair, much of the defeat, much of the difficulty we are living in, much of it, not all of it, much of it, is because we don't believe in Jesus. Jesus wants to come in there and trust, get you to trust in Him to change you and to change that situation. That's what He does for them. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, says this: all God's great giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned that God could. They were weak men who but did great things for God because they reckoned He could. Are you tired of the despair? Are you tired of the defeat? Are you tired of living in that situation? Do you believe Jesus is able to solve that situation? Look at verse 30. According to your faith, be it unto you. Verse 30. And their eyes were opened. Imagine what that was like. In a world of darkness, in a world of having to pound the ground, in a world of having to listen to know where you're going, Jesus touches them and their eyes were open. I just kind of think the first thing they saw was Jesus. And that was the best thing they ever saw their entire life. Amen? They saw Jesus, the one who had made them whole, and we're going to see him before too long. Hey, they opened their eyes. He opened their eyes. He saw the skies, the birds. They saw everything. Look what he says. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." Their eyes were open. Everybody saw them coming down the road, pounding the ground. Everybody saw them fighting the crowds, enduring the words of the crowd. Everybody heard them, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon us." And all of a sudden, they come out of the house and there's no stick. They come out of the house and there's no dark sunglasses. They come out of the house and zippity-doo-dah. They got the joy of the Lord in their heart, and they're smiling, and they're high-fiving, and they're singing praises to Jesus. What do you think everybody's doing? Look, 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 look. And their eyes were open. Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. I don't know how it happened. So I'm going to cut these guys a little bit of slack. They're blind. They're blind forever. They're pounding their way inside Peter's house. They come out. Their glasses are gone. Their stick is gone. They're no longer holding each other to make sure they don't fall. And everybody says, "What happened to you?" And they say one word. "The son of David, his name is Jesus. Jesus is what happened to us. And his fame spread about because two blind guys could see." Hold on a second. Stories are not about two blind guys. Stories about faith for impossible situations. What's your impossible situation? These guys would have just stayed on the ground, complaining, griping, it's the way it's always going to be. Way it's always been, I'm just blind and I'm poor and I'm begging and I'm going to be begging till the day I die. They would have. But they said, "Get me up out of here. We're going after Jesus." And Jesus changed, hallelujah, Jesus changed their lives. Changed their circumstances. Look, verse 32. They went out. And they brought him a dumb man possessed with a devil. What's the first thing these two blind guys do? They're going and they find this demon-possessed guy, and they take the demon-possessed guy to Jesus. You say, who did it? Was it the disciples? Who's the they? Was it the disciples or was it the blind guy? The two men, they come across somebody that has a need. And that's what saved people do. You come across somebody with a need and say, "Can I speak to you the name of Jesus? Jesus, his name is all powerful. He can handle every situation in your life. Let me tell you about Jesus. Come on. We know where he is. We know Peter. Let's go and I will." And they take him to Jesus. Evidence of salvation. Look at verse 33. Purpose of this miracle. What's the purpose of it? Verse 33. When the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. The multitudes marvel, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." Do you get that? The multitudes. "It was never so seen in Israel." Because two guys had faith, all of Israel saw the impossible become reality. Purpose of this miracle, testify of Jesus. Purpose of this miracle was to show the power of Jesus. Now, how did the Pharisees respond? How they should have responded? They should have said, wait a minute, Isaiah 35 verse 5, "Their eyes shall be opened when the Messiah comes, their ears the deaf shall be unstopped." Wait a minute, this is the Messiah. How did the Pharisees respond? Verse 34, Pharisees said, "He casts out devils through the prince
of the devils. Three responses to Jesus. Blind guys, having met Jesus, they go bring people to Jesus. Multitudes, having seen the work of Jesus, they marvel. They're amazed. I'm here. They sing and they praise Jesus. The Pharisees, they're cynical and they're doubting and they're not believing. I come to you. What's your difficulty? What's your impossible situation? And where in your life are you living in defeat? The answer is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus is the Son of David. He is the absolute perfect that came to earth so that we can live, leave earth, and go to heaven. The gospel is Jesus came to make defeated people victorious people. The answer is you in your defeat turn into Jesus, recognizing his person. Recognizing your unworthiness. Hey, I can't make myself see. I can't fix this problem. I can't finagle myself out of this problem. Jesus, I believe you're able, and I give you this impossible situation. And in the meantime, you just keep hard after Jesus. If there are obstacles, you stay hard after Jesus. If there are closed doors, those blind guys saying, we've come through all of those crowds this long way. We're not going to let some puny door keep us from Jesus. And they go right through it. And because of their persistent faith, they who were blind then could see. What's your impossible situation? The answer, Lord Jesus Christ.